for organizing. And let's learn. We're on Daf. We're on Maseches Brachos Daf Mem Gimel. This Gemara for me is really the yisod for dealing with the Yetzirah. I'm glad Zach made the announcement after Marv that the Shir is in the Koch of the Yetzirah. So since like 99% of the people didn't come to the Shir, that means they obviously have no problem with it. So it's only us five. Yes, that we have a problem with six. We have a problem with the Yetzirah. So this Gemara, in my humble opinion, is, if it was so humble I wouldn't express it, but in my somewhat humble opinion, is the key for ourselves and for others and how to deal with that powerful pull that sometimes we have in us of the Yetzirah. What is the Yetzirah? Is it something physical? Is it something spiritual? Is it something, whatever it is, we got it. So the question is how to deal with it. So I'll tell you the classic approach to dealing with the Yetzirah. The classic approach is, if I can put it in graphic terms, is like you put it on the ground and you start stomping it with your feet. Then you spit on it and you know, and you say, you, and then you just walk away. And you don't have to do it. So that's like the classic way. Let's kill the Yetzirah. So that's what someone might think on a very superficial level. So this Gemara, we all know this Gemara in Yuma, that it says that they killed the Yetzirah, and then what happened? No chicken laid an egg, right? People just stop being creative. So what is the word Yetzirah? What does the word Yetzirah mean? Create. So a Yetzer is a creative faculty. Now, what can you do with your creative faculty? You can create wonderful things, and you can create terrible things. But it's just it's a koach. So it all depends on what you do with it. There's ra and there's tov. But the moment you're not yetzirati anymore, the moment you're not creative, then what happens? Then you're just nothing. So you don't want that. So it's very interesting. Who has it? Who's a stronger yetzirah? In general, you would say. Not that you've ever spoken to a girl, but maybe you have a sister. Yes, that's the one you've spoken to. Or if you're married, Rabbi Kiva Yisrael is married. Who is a stronger Yetzirah? A boy or a girl? We clearly. You're not going to hear, a rabbi getting up in a seminary and talking about Shmira saying, I am girls, you know, that all day long, you're just trying to look at another boy in shorts. It's not so interested to look at us and, you know, really nothing. You even go to a mikvah, there's nothing to look at, right? Nothing. Zero, right? But we, all day long, it's this big, it's a mohammed. It's just a constant mohammed. Where you see, shalom, Hershianus, and I wasn't going to start without you. And then I see the brought Shmuel Tzvi along, so that's another bracha, agave bracha. Shalom. Hershianus, and this is your special signed copy, Givaldik. So sometimes I walk through yeshiva, yes, and you see guys wrestling on the ground, punching each other. You ever see like girls? You know, they're just, you know, punching each other, pounding each other, hitting each other. It's just not, it's like a yetzirah. Now, interesting, Rav Kook, in his commentary to the Siddur, he says, what's the bracha of Shiloh Asana Yisha? Why are we happy we're not a woman? So I can think of one or two reasons. First of all, it would completely destroy my marriage. Like that'd be the end of it. Midday, you know what I mean? One day I'm a woman and that's it. Like you just don't know what to do anymore. Rav Waldenberg is an interesting tshuva, which back then wasn't so lemaisa. Today it's maisim shebechol yom. He says, let's say somebody decides they're not their gender anymore, and they medically verify that they medically change their gender. What happens to the marriage? Like what happens to the kedusha? Like you just say that's it. They're not married anymore. Does she need a get, or can she give her get? Like the whole thing is, we shouldn't have to have such a problem. That's something the Jewish week would like to write a lot of articles about. So you see, men have a very powerful Yetzirah, and Rav Kook says the bracha is, the reason we're thanking God, is because men are just a lot more, in this world, historically, men have been a lot more creative than women have. Men are the shapers of history. Right? A woman, here and there you hear, but most great inventors are men, and the kings, and the powerful leaders, and also evil. Most evil is perpetrated by men. If you go to a jail, there's going to be the majority of the population in jail is going to be male. Right? Why? Because we have that koach yitzirati, we have that koach of the yetzer, and we're using it for bad, and in many cases we're also using it for good. So the yetzahara is not something to be done away with it, because then we're losing out on a lot of potential good. But we have to realize that the more we have, then the more, that's why it says in the Gemara, kol agado mechavero, somebody finish me off, yitzro gadol emenu, the greater you are, the bigger yetzer. Why? Because that means you have more creative power. So if somebody's doing a lot of bad, that just means they could be doing a lot of good. So what we're supposed to do then with our Yetzirah is not quash it, but rather channel it. And if you see a person as a tiny little Yetzirah, so you know he doesn't really have all that much potential. And when you see somebody has a big Yetzirah, so then you know that he has tremendous potential. So let's see the Gemara. This is Brachas, page 43. Vamrav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav. This is on page 25. If you have sheets, it was so nice of Zachariah to photocopy them. It was mamash. I was surprised that everyone would just come with their phones. It would be amazing. In the future, all young men who never tasted sin are going to give a smell like the smell of Lebanon. You're in the top. I'm sorry, I was in the bottom. But yeah, it's in the Gemara in the top. Right, you're great. Yehu Yonkosa, the young people are going to go. Vihi Kizayis Hodo, and their glory is going to be like an olive. V'reach lo kilavanon, and the smell is going to be like the smell of the Lebanon. In other words, these young people, are going to have the smell like Lebanon. What is this Gemara telling us? We have a Gemara. If those that didn't taste sin, they're going to smell like Lebanon. That's like something really, that's really exciting. Somebody says, you know, I want to go to a movie on a Saturday night, and Rebbe tells me, don't go. It's not going to be worth your while. I say, why? What happens if I don't go? He says, oh, you're going to smell like Lebanon. What, like some smelly Arab guy from Lebanon? Like, well, what does that mean? I'm going to smell like Lebanon. That's the reward. If you don't sin, if you're a young guy, what does Bachur Yisrael mean? A Bachur Yisrael is a young guy with a lot of energy. You ever, any guys ever go to a wedding? Like a Jewish wedding? Yeah, you've been. Yeah, you've been. You know what I always get at those weddings? A lot of energy. You know, you have like 150 YU guys and they're all on. There's energy. But that energy, you know, when I'm thinking to myself, you know, as the old man, as I grow more and more gray hairs, I'm working on it. I died a little bit, to be honest, but I have to show that, you know, some sort of respect. And I heard after Zach announced the shir, somebody goes, no, don't go to that shir. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And then I realized it was me. So I have to give myself a little bit more respect than I've been giving myself. So the point, there's energy there. That's Bachurei Yisrael. And they're going to smell like Lebanon. So he says, how often shall he yashru saderech b'mei bachutz b'yichud? I'm sorry, Shmuel Tzvi, this shir isn't for you. It's not for anybody over 22, but it's for your children. You'll be able to tell them one day. You'll start having more boys, and you'll tell them. B'mei bachutz b'yichud, shekochos hagufa nefesh hema betokfam. This, when you're young, when you're 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and you're at the top of your physical power. By the way, when does the person reach his physical peak, be'erech? At 26. You know what happens at 26? You start aging. You start getting old, and little by little, you're dying. So you just, guys, you know, you're going up, 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 but you're going to start going down pretty soon. So don't think. But that's a human being. It's amazing. Like, you just think, like, we're so strong and young, but the aging process begins at approximately 26. Yes? Okay, don't mind. That's why in sports, you hear guys like 28, he's over the hill already. Good. So, when you have the kochos and nefesh vaguf, v'chemdas hachayim aza ad meod, this desire for life you have is very powerful. He b'shnei ofanim is in two ways. Haderech haragilu, sha'afo pishakol rikshi ha'yofi hema tovim umarhivim es hanefesh. So when you have this feeling of beauty, beauty is wonderful, and beauty expands the soul. Umishu tzadik, and now we're on page 26, tamim, shemishtamish ben b'derech yishara, vadei hu davar tovim noim. So if you're a tzadik, and use these feelings of beauty that you can appreciate a pretty girl, you like to have a good time, you can enjoy things, a nice house. So if you use it well, then vadi hu davar tov v'noyim, it's wonderful. Why, says the Rav, this is Rav Kook, why did Hashem create us with this appreciation of beauty, with this desire for fun, for a good time, for excitement? Why did Hashem create that? You know why? Because it can be used for a good thing. Everything is this, and is there anything in this world that has no reason? Everything has a reason. So if Hashem gave us this regesh, it's there for a purpose. Not only that, but this feeling, this appreciation of beauty, like just talk about a girl, a pretty girl. Why would somebody want to marry a pretty girl? You ever ask a boy that question? Why it's important for him that his wife be attractive? It's like a no-brainer. Because you're not using your brain, because of course, that's just natural. Everybody wants to have a pretty wife. But the Gemara has a different perspective. You know why you should have a pretty wife? Because it's going to help your Gemara cup. Have you ever heard such a thing? If you get a pretty, that's what I told the Shadchan. I said, I only want her to be pretty because she's going to help me learn. So the Shadchan's like, so why don't you just get a better chavrusa? I said, nobody wants to learn with me. But a girl, maybe there's hope. The Gemara says that there are three things that expand your seichel. Three things that expand the human mind. What are they? Hershiyana said, you know what they are? I want you to have all three. I give you a bracha. You already have all three, so it's already too late. But I give you a bracha retroactively. Yes? Diranaya, which you have a nice apartment. A person, so the Gemara says in brachos, you should have a nice apartment. You're supposed to have a nice house. You ever heard of such an idea? It's not a modern idea. It's already in the Gemara. It's marchiv dato shaladim. It expands your mind. Isha noe. That's just enough. Imagine you have a beautiful house and an ugly wife. If I had to choose, I would definitely go for the pretty wife and the ugly house. Yes? So, but if you can have both, it's marchiv dato shaladim. You want to have a nice looking wife and a nice looking house. And not only that, but kelim noim. You should have a nice set of china, Japan, Germany, whatever. No, we don't buy German goods. England, no, we don't like England. They kicked us out. Spanish kicked us out also. Who didn't kick us out? Yes, I mean, even I was kicked out of America. I used to try to go to the Max Stern Gymnasium when I was in high school, and they kicked me out. So even I was kicked out. So of America, at least certain parts of it. So what point am I trying to make? That a Caleb Noam is nice clothing. We're supposed to have nice clothing. Isha Dirana, Isha Noam, the Caleb Noam, Marchim Dato Shaladam. So therefore, it's very good to have beautiful things, and this regish of Yofi should be appreciated. So it says that if you're a Bahur Yisrael, and you are able to overpower your Yetzer, you weren't toying Tam Chet, usually in the Gemara when it says Tam Chet, what type of Chet is it talking about? It's talking about a Chet that has things to do with people on the other side of the Mechitza. I would say I don't know what they look like, but it seems that when I daven in America, the people on the other side of the mechitza are always very visible. Thank God I'm going to go back to Israel; you can't see them as well. But here, the mechitza is either they're low or they're transparent. You know, you're just a case. You know, you might need a shidduch or see if your wife is davening properly. So, but the point is that this feeling of beauty, when it says that you're a tom chait, this young man who hasn't tasted sin, meaning he's been careful in areas that relate to interpersonal relationships with members of the people in the Ezra's Nashim, yes, that is what symbolizes that is good smell, because smell is something that's more adin, it's more refined, yes. Smell is something a little more fine. What does the Gemara say about smell? What's the bracha that the neshama is making a bracha on? Smell. Kol haneshama ta'alelka ha'aleluka. That's birkas hareach. Because if it's something physical with your physical body that you're touching or that you're eating, so that's already more gosh, that's already more crude, that's already that anybody can appreciate. But smell is something spiritual because it goes into your nose. Where are we created from? Arnastu v'ipapap of nishmas chayim. It goes into your breath, into the breath of God. So reich is something that's considered more spiritual. What do you do? There's a lot of discussion about that. I even photocopied it, but we're not going to have time because I speak so much, I never get to really everything I want to say. But for that, I have about the 6,200 shiurim on YU Torah. You can just listen there. It is weird for me giving to actually live people and not just an MP3 player in my apartment in Kibbutz Zev. So there's a Reb Tzadok about this who talks a lot about reich. So reich is something on Shabbos. What do? They go around. You smell a lot of shuls. Make Berachas HaReach. What do we do on Motzei Shabbos? To get our neshama, to give us life. We also make on the Besamim. So Reach is something as well. It says in the Bnei Yisachar, what was the only sense that Adam Rishon didn't sin with? Smell. He sinned with all four senses. He saw, he touched, he ate, but he didn't sin with his Chush HaReach. It didn't say he smelled the tree. Yes? So that's the only sense, says the Bnei Yisachar, that remained pure. So smell is something very spiritual. And therefore Chazal say, Mugmar is davar she'eino shav l'chol nefesh. There's good smell, not everybody needs it, so therefore in Yantif, you're not allowed to be Mechal Yantif for it, it's not shav l'chol nefesh. Chamri v'rechni pikhin, wine and a good smell, give one wisdom, sharpness. The Gemara there says that we lost our ability to after there was no more Dinei Tara, yes, we lost our smell, but there was somebody who was especially pure. So the Gemara there says, Tara Yeshbacha, you're pure. What do you mean you're pure? You can smell. Does the Rav say this? Stomach he will, but even if he doesn't, what does it say about Mashiach? What's Mashiach going to do? Gemara says in Sanhedrin, you guys learn in Sanhedrin? Moreach v'dayin. When Mashiach comes, you're going to have a fight about $1,000. He's going to take the money, take a shmek, and say it's yours. Moreach, he's going to smell v'dayin, he's going to be able to judge. Because he's just going to be able, what do we say even in English? Something here doesn't smell right. It smells fishy. What's this idea of smell? Smell is this chush that a person has that's above just pure physical senses, that he can see it, that he can touch it, that he can taste it. Smell is something more elevated, that you can smell it. And I like to tell about Rav Kook. He says that when he was 9 years old, he walked by a church, and they had flowers planted outside the church. You ever walk by? You walk by a garden, and there's flowers, really nice-smelling flowers. So he walked by the church, really nice-smelling flowers. He said it smelled like the inside of a toilet bowl. He smelled it. He could smell. You could smell the tumah. There are people like that that you can smell. Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Ma'aseh Shehaya. I always say the real Rav Elchanan, I'm the fake one. Yeah, Rav Elchanan Wasserman. That's maybe a name. Rav Elchanan Wasserman. It would have been Chana, but I was born a boy. He was driving once in the city. He was raising money, 1938, 39. Yeah, and his head was down. He wasn't looking outside the car. And he says, "You have to get me out of here. I can't take the smell. It's unbearable." And he was in Times Square. You can imagine Times Square in 1938, what it was like. Imagine compared to today. It was a lot better, right? But Rav Elchanan smelled it. Because when you have that, you're in an elevated spiritual level, you can just smell good or bad. And by the way, what happens when a person dies? They have this terrible smell, right? It's interesting. My Rebbe tells about his grandfather that he would take off his sacks and they would give him new sacks to wear. And then sometimes they got mixed up. It happened once. They got mixed up. And they didn't know which was the old sacks or the new sacks. So it's an easy way of telling. You just smell it, and then you know which one of the clean ones and not clean ones. But when they did his grandfather's laundry, his clothing, no matter how long he wore it for, never smelled. Because when you have taras haguf, and there's a person he was telling me about his grandfather, who he remembers, he only died 17 years ago. When you have taras haguf, the previous told the Rebbe, you just don't smell. Smell is death. That's why we always have to shower and deodorant and all this stuff, because that's part of the physicality and the impurity of the body. But if a person is completely pure, then there's never smell. What happens when they dig up a body, you know, to take the tzaddik to Eretz Yisrael? What do they find? That the body is shalem. It doesn't smell at all because it didn't decompose, because they're pure. So that's the idea of having a good smell. Okay. So he talks first about this idea of smell. That when you're very pure, you smell good. That's tara yeshbacha. And that's the idea of the smelling is the neshama. Now, when you're young, sometimes you have to be dochi your kochos, your appreciation of yofi. Right? When a person's young, he's a 21-year-old boy, and he sees a pretty girl, what is he going to say? Marabu ma'asech Hashem? No. What happens is there's a certain hormonal effect in the body, and all of a sudden, taivas just kick in right away. There's no looking at her beauty. You can look at, you know, when you look at a one-year-old baby girl, you say, oh, she's so beautiful. But, you know, you're not going to ask her out on a date. You know, you're not interested in what's it called. But when it's a 19-year-old, then it's just immediately it becomes your Yetzirah gets involved. Yes, unless it's your daughter's or your sister. Right, it's interesting. No matter how pretty your sister is, she's your sister. So there's going to be no attraction. That's why Hashem created us. But if it's anybody else, then there are other things involved. So when you're young, you can't appreciate beauty. Kidematzinu. But also Nazir Shabam and Adarim, Yufei Naim Atovro, famous Kamar Mesechus Nazir and Adarim, right? There was a beautiful looking Nazir. He had long hair, curls. He was so handsome. And then Rav Shimon HaTzadik said to him, why do you want to destroy your Yetzer? Why do you want to destroy your gorgeous hair? And he said, one time I was walking by and I saw my reflection in the river and I looked so beautiful and I said, you're so handsome, you're a movie star. Before they had movies, you're a star. Yeah, they had stars back then. And then I said, I got to cut you off, I said to my beautiful hair. I look so beautiful, I have to cut you off. Why? Because I got too into my good looks. It wasn't good for me. Because I was a young guy, and then when you're a young guy, and you're beautifying yourself in the mirror, so if it's in the matter of Kavadat Torah, and you want to look mechobedik, that's very, very nice. But sometimes when you're young, and your Yetzirah is involved, then it has to do with other things besides just giving kavod to the way a ben Torah should look. Right, they used to have in Slobodka, right, they used to talk about Kavod Adam. So if you ever see pictures of even Gedolei Yisrael, or later Gedolei Yisrael, when they were back in Yeshiva Bachurim in Europe, you know, they looked good, they had nice chups, nice hairdos, they were wearing good clothing. You ever see those pictures of the rabbis when they were young? And then afterwards you look at them, these old men with the, you know, with the long white beards. But when they were young, handsome guys. So their idea was, because they wanted to increase the Kavod HaTorah. But there's also a danger, because, you know, the Hasidim, they didn't like that. The Yerushalmis, when the Hebron moved from Slobodka, moved from Eretz Yisrael to Hebron. Why did they come to Yerushalayim? Because the Yerushalmis didn't like them, because the Yerushalmis were wearing their old, ripped clothing, and, you know, they were completely mavaz of the goof, and they didn't care about that stuff. And then these young guys are coming, these handsome guys, clean-shaven, which Jews used to not shave. Right, clean shaven was a very new thing, by the way. And there was a period in history that only men who liked men shaved, because they want to look like women. So I don't want to make you guys feel bad. But now, today, everyone does. It's fine. But I'm saying in the olden days, that was what it used to mean. And Jews never did it. It was like Jews didn't shave. Just in Germany, then they started. It was like a modern thing. But the old-fashioned Jews didn't shave. You have these young, handsome guys with their nice clothing, and they didn't like that. So they said, you know, they'll stay in Hebron, and they won't come to Yerushalayim. And then the Arabs came. You know, they slaughtered 69, and they said, we got to get out of Hebron. So that's it. Next, now they're in Kibbutz Mordechai. But that's the idea of beauty. But beauty is dangerous when you're young. Male beauty, your own beauty, and then also beauty of the other gender. And then he said, he kissed him and he said, we're about halfway down the page. You're right, sometimes it's good to push away the beauty. If you have to destroy something positive, it's not perfect. It's not a perfect reality. What's the perfect reality? Where you can maintain the beauty, but do it in a holy way. But in the meantime, since you're young, you can't. So therefore, you have to look away. You have to live pashut sometimes. You can't buy such a nice house necessarily, because you might get too into the gashmias. V'amala yose oyone hi sheyeh seichel shalem kolkach. V'kochas ha-musar kolkach ha-zogim. Ad sheyafuna gam rega sheyofi b'chol tzvav u'pratav. You know what the ideal matzav is, says the Rav? That your seichel should be so perfect, and your moral level should be so perfect that you can cultivate all types of beauty. That you can that you should have a beautiful wife, and that should lead you to a harchavas hadas and avodas Hashem, and it's not going to be about taiva at all. It's just going to be at, you're looking at something pretty, you feel good, you should have a beautiful home, and you look at it, you say, and you take out your gemara, and it's a machai, you're learning, you're looking out the window, you have a mikvah in your backyard, I think in America they call it a swimming pool. Yeah, you look at a thing, and it's nice, and you're in back Lawrence, and you're in front Lawrence, and you have a nice lawn, and you have 18 holes, but I saw they had a Pesach program advertisement, 36 holes. I think, why do you need 36 holes? Just do 18 twice. But no, you see all that greenery. They say golf is a terrible way of ruining a nice walk. So you see all the greenery, and everything looks so pretty, and you have the trees, and it's a mach, and that's supposed to be the ideal, and you're not supposed to get caught up in the physicality. Oh, so he says like this: V'heimod Yosifu hold v'hader l'shleimus hamiti shel amusar atov v'kedush sanoga v'das elokim b'yoshem v'avaso. It's going to make you a better person. It's going to make you love God. It's going to make you fear God. It's a wonderful idea. It's supposed to appreciate the beauty of nature. What does it say in the Pishim Pirkei Avos? You're walking down the street and you see a tree, and you stop and you say, "How beautiful is this tree?" And you stop your learning. What's the din? Mischayev benafsha. You're chayv misa. Why are you chayv misa for appreciating God's beautiful creation? What's the answer? Because you stopped your learning. It's not part of the greater whole of Avodas Hashem. What about a guy who's not learning and just looks at the tree and says, "Wow, God, your trees are so beautiful. That's wonderful." So that's the ideal. The ideal is to appreciate all the beauty and all the wonderful things we have in this world and use them to the greatest extent. Okay, we're going to finish Bezrat Hashem. I plan to do it in a half hour, but by 11 Bezrat Hashem, 10 more minutes. And want us to leave early, feel free. I'm used to it. There was a guy, I think it was a famous Rosh Hashiva, I don't want to say his name, because I don't remember it was him, but he said, "I'm not going to go to Gehenna." He said, "I already got it in this world that when I get up to give a shir, and I just see masses of people running out." Now, so I've had that experience. Actually, this Shabbos actually had it in one place, so it was very, very exciting. So it wasn't bad. I'm saying there was a shir, so everyone goes. But Rav Shimon Shkop, I just want to tell you, was an aside. Rav Shimon Shkop was in Volozhin. And every time Reb Chaim Soloveitchik would get up to give a shir, you know, the bachur, who didn't want to hear the shir, would run out. So one time he was so poor of Shimon, he couldn't afford shoes. So he didn't have shoes to keep that would connect. He didn't have laces like to connect the shoes to the feet. So if he would have run out, he wouldn't have been able to get out in time. So he was forced to stay. And he loved the shir, and he ended up sitting for a year and a half. So you see, sometimes it's not good to run out of the Rebbe's shir so fast. Okay, you have to appreciate it. Sometimes you don't appreciate it until many years later. Vina erech shel levanon utzad yofi shebo. What is Lebanon? We said that if you don't taste sin, you're like Lebanon. What's Lebanon? Tzadika tamar yifrach. Kerez bavanon yiskeh. What's an erez? A cedar tree. What's a cedar tree? A big, strong, powerful tree. And what's the Lebanon? The Lebanon, when you're raising these big trees, they smell very, they also smell beautiful. So the rech of the Levanon is a very powerful smell. It's beautiful. On one hand you have the smell, which is like the beauty, and then you have the power, which is the pnimius. It has a lot of internal power. Today, you know who's going to be a bachur who's not going to sin? He's not going to have an iPhone. He's not going to have an earphone. He's not going to have a U-phone. He's not going to look at a girl. He's not going to talk at a girl. He's not going to have anything to do with anybody. He's going to lock himself up in his Dalet Amos, and he's just going to sit and learn all day, and he's going to wear blinders when he walks out on the street, and he's not going to have anything, any shaykhs to the world, and he's just going to shtag yom and balayla. That's going to be a bachar shalot tam tam chait. But if you're going to be involved in this world, if you're going to appreciate this world today, in the year, people say it's 2016, but that was like 3,000 years ago. Yeah, it's 5777, as opposed to when Yoni got married, when it was 5747. No, just on his suba, I was 20 years off. It was only 20 years, I'm saying. It was when he was born. I'm saying he could have gotten married in theory if he was a girl, his father was Mekadosh. We fixed it, don't worry about it. So what's the point? The point is that I remember all weddings, but yours is going to be especially memorable. The point is, the only way to stay, you tell me a boy never sinned, then I'm going to say to you that he's not part of this world. But you show me a boy, you point to me to a boy today, an hour thing, 5777, who has a phone, yes, who went to school, who walks down the street, who's never sinned. Shalot tam tam chait. Is there such a metzius today? There's no metzius. There's no such metzius. Maybe a new square where they have separate times that men walk down the street and women walk down the street, and the guy is just sitting in the base medrash and he doesn't know how to speak a word of English. Yes, maybe he never sinned. Maybe. But in our world, all of us, well, I don't like to say it, but ein ma lasot, that's the metzius. We're in this world, and you can't get away from it. You can't get away walking down the street. You can't get away from it if you can use a computer, and even if you have a buddy system, and even if you have a filter, there's no way to get around it. You go to shul on Shabbos, what are you going to do? You're going to go to shul on Shabbos, and there's not going to be anybody else there. It's just men in a dark room in a shul on Shabbos. There's a shul, and there's walking to shul, and there's walking home from shul, and there's walking this, and then there's the kiddush after shul, and ein ma lasot, that's this world. So today, you have to be mevatel yofi, you have to be mevatel the world to be dol tam tam chet. When the Yetzirah sees you playing around with your hair, what did it say about Yosef? He says, you're mine. If you're trying to cultivate that beauty in our day and age, he says, you're mine. Now he's a great pshat in the Gemara. Gemara says you shouldn't go out smelling nice into the shuk, you shouldn't be wearing your aftershave on the street. Because then again, you're cultivating this beauty, and that might lead you to sin. It's because the beauty is wonderful, but the Yetzirah is so powerful, it's going to lead you to evil. Therefore, we have to weaken powers within us that aren't so primary, like this appreciation of beauty, in order to save ourselves, because otherwise we're gone. Because if a person really gets into that, he sees all the koch of the Yetzirah, and he allows it to get, he gives it expression, then he's done. Sometimes you see somebody, and he just, I don't want to say, I was just about to say the name of a very big rough, but I'm not going to say it. But you see pictures of him, and if you, that's why I'm happy I didn't say his name, but you would say, there stands not a good looking man. Just not a good looking guy. You're going to say to him, he's not going to be on the barbershop. You know, when they have the pictures of the good looking guys in the barbershop, they're not going to put his picture up there. Why? That's the way it has to be sometimes. V'nikra Talmud Chacham Pasya Uchma. And sometimes a Talmud Chacham is called a black, an ugly black kli. V'pratim u'mebachos v'medrei chashu b'yiras Hashem. Then you see a boy, like in Israel, you go and you see these Yerushalmi boys and these Hasidisha boys. They never touch a razor to their face. And they wear this old clothing. And their shirt, you know, has some Yerushalmi kugel stains on it. Yeah? So you're going to say that doesn't look so good. It's not such a nice looking thing. Alkein Amar Shasidim Bachur Yisrael Shalot Tu Tamachet. Asidim! Meaning in the future, if they didn't sin here, you know what's going to happen? Shalay Yitztarchu Lechasir Minavshim Shum Tov Vishum Hod Vinoam. Noam. There's going to be a time in the future that the people today who had to quash their booty, who had to negate that side of them, are going to flourish. Because now they can't, because there's a problem, there are ethical problems, there are moral problems that are going to arise. But in the future, they are going to be Reach Tov Kalavanon. In this time of Shlemus, they're going to smell wonderful. They're going to be big. They're going to be strong. They're going to be powerful. Shehod v'hoder archoves and evesh abayim eshlemus kol tonayr gotz liyofi yushlem metzim chovetem. Then they're going to be able to appreciate beauty. And there's going to be a time in the future when the Eitzahara goes away that a pretty girl is just going to be just that. Like looking at your sister, looking at your mother. You ever look at your mother and you say, wow, I really wish I could get a date with her. Well, usually we try to, it comes an age, you're 21, 22, you're trying to get out of the house. Yes, no matter how good looking your mother may or may not be. Yeah, why? There's no Yetzirah, she's your mother, there's no Yetzirah. But that's what's going to be Lasid Lavo. You're going to be able to see the pretty girl, and you're going to say, the Gemara says, even the Lasid Lavo, they're going to have a hesped for the Yetzirah, and we're going to need a mechitza there also. But this is maybe after that stage. See the Machuri Yisrael, that you're going to be able to appreciate all the beauty. It's going to be mechazik you. You're going to be able to appreciate a beautiful apartment and beautiful clothing. Reach is this picture of beauty that impresses others, because when you smell, so it's going from A to B, so it's you being enjoying B, enjoying the other thing. And that's going to come to Kedusha and Shlemus. And then he quotes the Pasuk, Lasid Lavo, Bechukosai, Ve'olech Eschem Komemius. That Lasid Lavo, Hashem is going to bring us standing straight up. What does it mean, standing straight up? That means we're going to be able to serve Hashem with all of our kochos. Not like today, that sometimes we have to take certain powers within us and we have to quash them. And Lasid Lavo says, Ve'olech Eschem Komemius, you're going to be standing straight up and with all of your power, all of your energy. You know what it's like? It's like when I do Hagbah, I'm not, the strongest guy necessarily. I always wonder why they're giving me Hagbah. Don't they want to save for Torah not to fall? But when I do it, you know what I always do? I always go down, I bend my knees, and then I go up. Yes, why? Because this way, it's not only my arms lifting the Torah, I'm lifting with my whole body, right? Or when you hit a baseball, what they always tell you? To get your whole body into it, right? When you serve Hashem, you want to serve Hashem with everything, with all of your kochos. Today you can't do that. Because you're always negating. You always have this yetzer. Oh, I can't look. I can't see. I can't say. Oh, I have a machshava. I have here. I have this. I have that. Because there's so much impurity that mixed in with the purity, it's dangerous. But there's going to be a time, if now you're careful, there's going to be a time where all of your kochos and all of your energies are going to be able to be in power and activated, and you're going to use that to serve Hashem. And he concludes, last paragraph. Vinei amayla shlema shalamadus kol kochos al mechonim alom tiel. If somebody didn't sin, he didn't taste the taste of sin, then he's going to be able to use all of his kochos b'shlemus. Amnam mi shenichshal b'cheit, kfi erech haroshim sha'asa la b'cheit, sheba mitad shlo ratz levat v'shim agashanim abot shlo yamuch shlo kabla, yufras lo mishlemus. But he says, but if you're too soon, and you already start enjoying all of these things before you're ready, then you're not going to have the shlemus. You're not going to be able to appreciate it. V'ram zuzal b'balei tshuva, yeshol tzno tzaltzon. So, One of the rabbis once said, he said, what does it mean, shalot tam tam chait? He said, even if you sin, he says, avaras nishbatamt, it doesn't taste so good. You ever do that? You ever do an avera chas shalom? Nobody in this room, but you can ask your friends. They looked at something chas shalom on the internet they weren't supposed to see. They felt really yichy about it. It's really not matim. Anyway, this girl is, I'm looking for a stern girl with a long skirt. I'm not going to marry her anyway, this picture that I saw. And he felt yichy about it. That's an avera that there's no tam to. So there's an idea that even when you do an Avera, there should be no tam to it. That's what it means, shalot tam tam chait. On one hand, sometimes you're going to, it means in Parshat Shah, you didn't sin at all. You didn't even taste sin. But it could also mean that you sin, but it wasn't a tasty sin. So what's the yisod of this whole mahalach? The yisod is that ideally, everything we have should be at full force. All of our yitzarim and all of our kochos, everything should be. And there is a point that a person gets married, and then that's allowed freedom a little bit more. The Yetzer is now used for something holy. It's used to bring shalom bayis between ish l'ishto. Shalom bayis between ish l'ishto is a good thing or a bad thing. And let's say your wife, your present or future wife, looked like that doorknob. How would you feel towards her? Would that increase your shalom bayis or decrease it? Decrease. And let's say your future wife looked like me. Also, right? Not as exciting, right? Maybe less than a doorknob. So you like that. So that Yofi is going to be good, and it's going to be able to be used for good things, and it builds Klal Yisrael. How do we have a Vilna Gaon and a Chofetz Chaim and all the tzaddikim of all the doros? It was all because of that Yetzer. But right now, all of us, to a certain extent, if you're married, less so, and if you're single, more so, you have to take those kochos that you have, and those yitzarim, and those energies that you have, and you have to temper them, and you have to limit them, and they can't be given full expression. But it says, and that's why I always envy Bachurim, I always say, oh, that I could be 18 years old again, and people would talk to me about the Yitzhar, and because nobody ever spoke to me about the Yitzhar, nobody ever said a word. Until I chopped it all on my own, and I started learning Hasidus and all these things. Nobody ever spoke about it, then they just assumed they're going to put a sefer in front of you, and the Rebbe started to teach, and you know, we were all interested in that, like we were interested in the history of China from the year 1461 to 1473, and he started telling us all this Divrei Torah, da, 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 you know, we just wanted to let out of class and go play basketball or do other things that we like to do. And nobody ever said anything. And then I got a little older, and I said, oh man, had I only known, those are the magical years of your life. When you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and you're still single, and the Yetzer is on fire, and you have that chance to be lo tam tam chet, then afterwards, you're going to come to a point, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Schar Lasid level, that you're going to be the strongest and most powerful person in Klal Yisrael. Because now all of your kochos, you're going to be like that big, strong cedar tree in Lebanon, this powerful smell of purity that's going to extend, you know, so far away, that's the smell, you know, smell goes long distances. So you're going to be able to have that, and then once you lose it, once you're already married, you become an old man and this and that. So you don't have, you know, like you just see these old men. You know what I mean? I was once at a wedding, a bar mitzvah. You know, this guy, he ate a half a herring. He said, "I'm 93 years old. That's all I can eat. I don't have room for any more." We're young. We have big appetites. We have appetites for a lot of things. So Hashem wants us to have an appetite, also an idea of curbing it and tempering it, and knows time and a place and everything. But these are the best years for you guys. Again, I wish that Hashem doesn't give you those chances again. Once you missed it, you missed it. I was never young, and nobody ever spoke to me about it, so I didn't know. But now, Baruch Hashem, I'm a little older, and that's why I wanted to spread the word to the world, to you guys. You could tell your friends who didn't come, all those guys who didn't come. They're learning Gemara. Gemara is also a tablet for the Yetzer. Or they're studying for their finals. Studying for your finals is also a tablet for the Yetzer. It's hard to think about Yetzer when you're worried you're not going to be able to make a living, and that your parents wasted all their money on your college education. But the point is, I just want to encourage everybody here. Vani b'sochachem baruch Hashem. Even when you have gray hairs and you start marrying off children, and then you go into your 40s and 50s, the Yetzer still doesn't go away. So you still have opportunities. But particularly at your age now, that it's at the height of the Yetzer, and also the Yetzer doesn't get expression a lot because you're especially if you're single. So this is the best time of your life to take advantage, to be betara, and then the haftacha is that when the time comes, asidim bachuri Yisrael, these young people, all of your kochos are going to begin expression, and even in this world, even before you get to that future asid, after you get married, and then it's done in a holy context. So then now it's holy. In other words, it's never been used on something unholy, and it's waiting for this kedusha. So that's the holiest. The holiest is when it's never been contaminated. So, and don't worry, but if you have, lo tam tam chet also applies to those who do tshuva. The chet goes away, it's as if you never did it, right? All those averis are mitzvahs. So therefore, it never happened in the first place. So anybody who wants to do tshuva, you can also fix that. So I still have that opportunity. The married guys still have that opportunity. But particularly if you're single, this is the time of life that you can really flourish. So hatzlachat everybody. I thank you so much for coming. And we should all be zocher to be serv Hashem b'simcha. 2, 3, 4. If the West Hashem b'simcha, if the West Hashem b'simcha, b'ol v'ana v'erna v'alim. What's your favorite brothers-in-law? If the West Hashem b'simcha, if the West Hashem b'simcha, b'ol v'ana v'erna v'alim. If the West Hashem b'simcha, if the West Hashem b'simcha, b'ol v'ana v'erna v'alim. If the West Hashem b'simcha, if the West Hashem b'simcha, b'ol v'ana v'erna v'alim. I